We begin the current daf, Masechta Ksubos, daf Chavav. We begin 8 lines down by the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf regarding what things that we notice, that we observe regarding a certain person, that because of these things we could be machzikim l'kuhuna, that we could establish that he must be a kohen. So Tanya learned the Braisa. Pshim ben Laza Eimer, he says, Kashem shetruma chazaka l'kuhuna, just like if someone gets the chiluk hatruma by the Beis HaGranos, and that is machzikim l'kuhuna. Obviously, he's a kohen because or else they wouldn't be giving him out truma by the granary. Kach ma'isarishin chazak l'kuhuna. So he said, so too, that if they give this person ma'isarishin, the first type, that also is machzikim for kuhuna. However, v'chaylik bevezdin in chazak, is someone that gets his portion, give it to him by bezdin, that's not a chazaka. Now, the Gemara originally assumes that, meaning if it's through the Bezdin that's established in the city, that they apportion the Truma by the Beis HaGranos, so then if he's getting it that way, that won't be Machzikim L'Kahuna. But the Gemara later on will ask, if through the formation of Bezdin that's not a Chazaka, then what would be a Chazaka? If Bezdin's the one that's giving it out, so why wouldn't that be considered a Chazaka? But the Gemara first asks a question regarding the first Halacha B'Shem Elazar says, Maiser Rishon? What, if this person gets Maiser Rishon, he's a Kayan? The Levi who? What do you mean? Who gets Kayam get Truma? They get other Matnas Kuna too. But the first half goes to a Levi. Why would that establish this person as a Kayan? So that the Gemara says, Kerbalaz ben Azariah, the Tanakh learned the Braisa. Truma le Kayan. The first opinion the Braisa says that Truma goes to a Kayan. And Maiserish le Levi, Divri Bekiva. But Kerbalaz ben Azariah, I mean, that's who the Braisa is going like. He says, Maiserishain, and some Gersayis take out the next word because of. Obviously, what the Gemara is understanding is, but Ma'aser Rishon is af l'kayin. Ma'aser Rishon goes to a kayin too. So therefore, if it goes to a kayin, that would be machzikim as a kayin because it's kahan begem Ma'aser Rishon. But the Gemara asks, Ema dam Reb Elazar ben Azariah, when did Reb Elazar ben Azariah say his halacha that Ma'aser Rishon goes to a kayin? That's af l'kayin, also to a kayin. L'kayin v'le Levi mi Amar, did he ever say it goes to a kayin, not to a Levi? The Torah tells us, you give it to Levim. So additionally, he says the Kahanim are called Levim. We find 24 places in the Torah where HaKahanim, HaLevim, they're called Levim too. So they additionally get it. But how can you prove by him getting Ma'aser Rishon that he's a Kayin? Maybe he's a Levi. So the Gemara says, in yes. The Tanya of the Braisa is told him at a time that only, which comes out of Koran Trabalazab and Nazari's understanding, that only Kahanim get the Ma'aser Rishon and actually Levim don't get it. And it's told about Buster de Kansinu Ezra. It's told about that after Ezra penalized the Levim not to give them any more Ma'aser Rishon, as the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamah, Mastav Pei Vav Amud Beis. And the reason was, is because when Ezra made Aliyah, came up with the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael after Galus Bavel, it says in the Pasuk, Va'avina Ba'am Ubakam, he said, Ezra, that I discerned in the people and the Kanim, I didn't find in Levim that they didn't come up, and therefore because they didn't come up to Eretz Yisrael, he penalized them that they don't get Ma'aser Rishon anymore, and rather only the Kahanim, who according to Reb Elazar ben Azariah's opinion also can get, so now they're the only ones that get. And that's what the case of the Braisa is talking about, that after Ezra's Knas, that the only one that can get it are Kahanim, so if this person's eating Ma'aser Rishon, must be Zakayin. Now the Gemara asks, but the Dama Ikru B'Yavulei, maybe it happened and they gave it to a Levi, because that's the halacha always was giving to a Levi, and it doesn't have the isurim that Truma has. So how can you prove from the fact that he's eating getting Ma'aser Rishon that he's a Kayan? Maybe he's still a Levi. So Amar Chizda, he says, no, hacha ma'iskinan, the case that we're talking about over here, which will clearly illustrate that he's a Kayan, is kagayin de muchzik lam ba'avur de hay de Kayan. We know about this man that his father is a Kayan, but if you know his father's a kohen, you don't have to prove it by meeting, getting Ma'aser Rishon or getting truma. But there was a rumor going about that he's the son of his father, the kohen, who married a grusha or a chalutza, which is forbidden, which would make the son a chalal. Now, but and as the Braisa said, the case is told, that they were portioning him and he got the Ma'aser by the granary. Now, this will prove that he's a kohen. How so? Because if it's Levi, in other words, you can't entertain to say that he's a Levi, because that was what the Gemara's question was. You know, even if we give it only more to Kahanim because of Ezra's Knas, still someone by mistake might give it to Levi, but that's not even an option. Because the law of Levi, who obviously is not a Levi because we know his father's a Kayan. Now, Ma'aser Rishon, what are you going to say? That ben Gerusha ben Chalutza, who maybe we can't be Machzikim Lakuna. Maybe he's really a Chalal. because, yes, his father was a kohen, but his mother was a gusha or chalutza. And that is what the Brisa was telling us, that loy mi boy lamando amar, that forget that we don't have to say according to the one that says, which this is the machlekes and mesechtes yavamas, that ma'aserishin asal lazarim, where that opinion says that ma'aserishin is forbidden for non-leviim, the loy haviyavale, where they wouldn't give it to him, because just like you can't give it to anyone that's not from Sheva Levi, which is the kahanim leviim. In other words, you can't give it to Yisrael. Same thing would apply to the Chol. The Chol is also not considered in that sense. He's demoted from that status. So, obviously, if this guy's getting the Meister by Beis HaGranos, obviously, he is a valid kind and not a Chol. So, therefore, we could be Machzikim Lakuna. But on that, the Gemara says, you don't have to say even according to that Mandama. Ela Fila Mandama Meister Rishon Mutul Azorim. Even according to the one that says that, it's not true. It's not forbidden for non-Levium to get Maiserishin, and that's permitted for non-Levium, a Yisrael, to eat Maiserishin. But Hanemila Lemispik Lahu, but even that mandam only holds that they could eat from the Maiserishin. Bataris Chaluka Loihavale, but no one would say that you give it out to him. Maiserishin only goes to the Levium, maybe to Kahan too, but definitely not to Yisrael, which the Chol would have that same status. And therefore, that's what the Braisa was saying in Reb Shimon Elazar, that if you get chiluk of the ma'aserishin by Beis HaGranos, you're obviously a kohen. How so a kohen? Maybe you're Levi. No, you can't be a Levi, because we know his father was a kohen. So, but maybe he's not a kohen. Maybe he's really a ben gurusha ben chalutza. Maybe he's a chal. And that thing where it says, mimam shach, according to either opinion, it can't be. Because if you hold that it's asal zarm, they can't even eat it. And even according to the opinion that says that it's permitted for zarm, that's only to eat it, but not to be apportioned to them. And if they're giving it out to him by Beis HaGranos, must be that he is a kohen, and that's why chiluk of ma'aser by Beis HaGranos will be a proof that the person's a kohen. Again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, who Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is going in that opinion. Now, the Braisa also said that v'acholik bevezdin ein chazaka, but if someone's getting his tithes by through bezdin, that's not a chazaka. So the Gemara wonders. If through Bezdin, who if anything, they're the ones that inspect and make sure whoever's coming is rightfully a kohen, if that's not a chazaka, say, hey, have a chazaka. So then where exactly would there be a chazaka? What does that mean? So Amar Sheshi says, no. This is what Reb Shimon Elazar was saying. Hachoyelik truma benichse of im achiv bevezdin, a whole different type of chiluk truma, not the chiluk truma of during the season of the grain, that in the granary that he's getting the portion of the tithes. It's talking about a different splitting of truma. In other words, his father died and they're splitting up his assets in Bezdin and he's splitting it with his brothers. And that is what Reb Shimon Elazar says, that in Chazaka, that will not be enough to establish him, that the rumor that was about his mother, that she was a Gerusha and that he's a Chol, the fact that he's getting truma in the estate will not be enough to disprove that, to say that he's not a Chol and that he really is a valid kind. Which the Gemara asks Pshita, obviously. What do you mean? Even if he's a Chol, he still inherits his father. Yes, he cannot do the avodah and he gets demoted from certain things by being chol, but he is the child. And therefore, what would be the chiddush in this, the novelty in saying that if he's splitting the estate, that's not going to disprove the fact that his mother's a grusha? Obviously, it has no relevance whatsoever. So I think Mar says, no. Ma de tema, we would have thought to say, midahanach l'achila, from the fact that the other brothers, when they're splitting the estate, they're splitting it to consume it because they are kosher kanim. So haynam alachila, we would think to say that based on that association, that this other son, who even though there's rumors about his mother, is also splitting it for consumption, and thus it's obvious that he is a kosher kain. Kamash malan, then no, hanach lachila and haylizvuni, they're splitting the estate for them to consume it, and for him it's just to sell it because he actually might be a chol and a ben grusha ben chalutz, and therefore he can sell it. And yes, he can inherit his father, but he cannot consume it, and therefore this would not be a raya, would not be a way to be machzik l'kohuna if he's splitting the inheritance of his father. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah from Daf Chav Gimel. That is, the Tanna Kamma said that when one person is saying about his friend and his friend saying about him that the other one is a kain, we can be mala a person based on one witness's testimony to him being a kain. Now the next opinion mentioned in the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. He says no. We cannot establish a person as a kohen based on one person's testimony. The third opinion mentioned in the Mishnah was Rabbi Elazar, who said that, well, depends. If there's no aror, if there's no people that are claiming or rumors going about this person, then one person actually could establish this person as a kohen. And then there was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who he said that one aid could be mala person tikkuna. So there's basically four different tanoim mentioned in the Mishnah regarding this idea if one aid could be mala person tikkuna or not. Now that the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Hein Rabbi Elazar. It seems that the last two opinions mentioned in the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is the same as Rabbi Elazar, as Rashi explains, because most definitely that when there's an oirin, when there are people claiming and stating that this person is not a kohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel obviously did not say that one person, which is the case that we're discussing in the Mishnah, would be believed. Because as the Gemara will shortly explain, that Arur is only with two people. So therefore must be when Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that we maila a person to kahuna based on one witness's testimony, is only when there's no oirin. But that's essentially the same words that Rabbi Elazar used, where Rabbi Elazar said that when there's no oirin, we believe one aid. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is the same as Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, and b'chi tema Arur chad ikka ben Arur. So the Gemara entertains to say that maybe their machlokes is, in regards to one person claiming he's being ma'ir and saying that he's not a kohen, where the Rabbi Elazar Sava Arachad, Rabbi Elazar holds that the rumor that's being spread about by one person would be considered in halacha an arur, and therefore this one other person that's saying that he is a kohen, to say that he is kosher, would not be believed by Malkum the Arur. Now, although the Arur is being created by one person who's saying he's not a Kohen, and I know for sure he's a liar or whatever, that even though it's by one, but since it's an Arur, as Rabbi Elazar says in the Mishnah, that one witness is not believed to say that he's a Kohen by Malkum Arur. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Sava Arur Trey, and maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who he says, you could be Mala person by one person's testimony that he is a Kohen, you're right. It, definitely when there's an hour of two people, so you can't believe the one person b'mokam d'shnayim. But if there's only iru chad, then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that's not considered quote an iru. You have to be two people to establish that. And therefore, one person would be believed. If you want to entertain, that's what they're arguing about. But the Gemara says you can't say that, because the Amr b'yechanon, he says, devriha kol according to everybody in our parches mishnayim, to be established as an iru, as some suspicion on this person that he's not a kohen, you can't have that less than two people who are making this claim that he's not a kohen. And therefore, when Rabbi Elazar says that when there's no hour, then we believe, it would mean when there's no hour of two. But if there's one that's saying he's not a kohen, we would believe one. So again, we're back to the question. That's essentially what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel obviously did not say we'll believe one when there's two saying he's not. It would only be when there's one saying that he's not. So that's the same thing. So the Gemara says, Elahocha ma'iskin, rather, what are we talking about over here? That is the machloek is between Rabbi Elazar and Shimon Gamliel. We're talking about a very specific type of a case. And as follows. The muchziklam ba'avur dehai dekainu. We know about this man who is in question over here, if he's a kain or not, where we have this one person that's going to say that he is a kain. We know about his father that he is a kain. Now, usually if your father's a kain, you're a kain. But v'nafik alea kala. There's a rumor, and as Rashi points out, just a rumor, no testimonials. There's a rumor de ben grusha ben chalutzuhu, that he's not a kasher kain, that his mother was a grusha. No one has substantiated, but that's the rumor. Now, vachtine, because of that rumor, they demoted him from kuhuna until they're able to check into this further and verify it, because that's certain on myla, although generally you don't demote someone based on the rumor, but because of the special status of kuhuna, we demoted him just because of a rumor. Now, one witness comes and says, Yidana be de kainu, I know that he's a kasher kain. His mother was not a grusha or not a chalutza. Now, what happens next, as the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, is sovaskine. So then we would then promote him back again to kahuna. Because when there's just a rumor, we believe one person in encountering of the rumor. But then the case continues. And this is still describing the case conceptualization that Rabbi Elazar and Shimon argue about. Then two witnesses come and say, Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, we know that his mother was a Gerusha or Chalutza, thus make him not a Kosher Kohen. So then we demote him. Now this is where the Machlekes of Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar come in. Now one witness comes and say, I know that it's a Kohen. So the Gemara describes for us the premise. The Kuliyama, both according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Rabbi Shimon, generally, we are mitzdarfen. We combine two witnesses' testimony, which were said at two different times, that we will combine them le'edus, to be a testimonial. Now, if that's the case, We had one witness come in the beginning, before the two witnesses, saying that I know he's a kosher kohen. Then we had one witness coming later, after two witnesses, saying also that he knows a kosher kohen. So they should combine to be a valid group of witnesses saying that he's a kosher kohen. But v'hacha b'meichash lezilusa de bedina kamifke. Here, what the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon is regarding our concern for the disgrace of Beis Din. Because what happened is, Beis Din demoted him two times. Now they're going to promote him back again and then undo what they had said already two times. And therefore, this is what the Tanna Kamma, Rav Elazar, Savar, he holds, kiven d'achtine, since we demoted him based on the Eirin, meaning when you have two witnesses now saying, no, we know he's a Ben Gerusha Mechalutza, loy maskin and lay, we're not going to promote him anymore based on this second witness now who's saying that he is a kosher kohen, that although generally we would combine them with that first person that came a while before, who also said he's a kohen kosher, we will not combine them to make them counter the ones who say he's a Ben Gerusha Mechalutza, because Chashin and Lizilusa, the Beis Din, we're concerned for the disgrace of Beis Din. It's going to be a mockery. Beis Din demotes him, then they promote him. Then they demote him, and we're going to promote him again after we already had two witnesses saying that he's a Ben Gerusha Mechalutza? No more anymore. So although generally, according to the halacha, we should, but that's why Rabbi Elazar says that we will not be malapi eidecha when there are Eirin, which is describing the case we described when it was originally a Kail, and we demoted him. Then we promoted him because of the Eidechad. But then there were Eirin, two witnesses who we demoted him. Now, if one witness wants to come and join the original witness, now we won't do anymore. Because it's Zilus of the Beidina. But Rav Shem Lil Saver, he says that no. Ananach Tinele, well, there's no Zilus of the Beis Din. We demoted him. Vana Maskinle, and we promote him. Zilus of the Beidina, like Hashem, we're not concerned for the disgrace of Beis Din. And therefore, he said that we are Ma'ala Pi Eidechad. Again, it doesn't really mean a pi eight echad the way we just described the case. It means that we'll join this eight echad with that other eight echad, and we're not concerned for Zilus de Beis Din. Now, the obvious question over here is, but even if you'll combine them together, it's still at the most going to be a tray. How could we promote someone to kahuna when we already demoted him based on two witnesses now who will combine them and say that he is a kasher kain, but you have two witnesses saying that he's not? So it should stay status quo and not bring him back to kahuna. Now Rashi explains that actually it will be your classic tray, but when the tray happens, you retain your original chazaka. Now the original chazaka was that the first witness had already elevated him, and he was believed because at that point there were no Eirin, there were no two witnesses saying he was a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. There was just a rumor. And although we demoted him because of the rumor, that doesn't create any chazakas. The first witness who we believe is a chazaka. Now, when we have then two witnesses saying that he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza and not a Kohen Kasher, but then we have another witness who will combine with the first one to say that he is, so we'll go back to the original Chazaka Kamaisa, which was by that first witness that actually he was a Kohen Kasher. And that's Rav Shimon Lil, what he holds when he says that we'll promote him based on one witness, again, combining with the original one witness. Now, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, Maskevel Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks, I hachi, if this is the conceptualization of their machlok is the way you just described, well, then afila trei, then even if, like you described, that there's two witnesses saying that he's Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza and not a Kohen Kasher, meaning what we call in the Mishnah Eirin, and then even vitrei nami, but then even if two people come together on the second time, then according to Rabbi Elazar, we should not be able to promote him into kahuna, because essentially this is the same thing. Now, obviously, that why would in our Mishnah, which obviously is saying that they're arguing regarding an Eid Echad. Why? Yes, you described it. It doesn't really mean an Eid Echad. It means Eid Echad joined together with the original Eid Echad. But why say it in such a case? The way you just described it, Rav Elazar's concern is he loses the Beis Din, or whatever you're going to do, we don't care anymore. We can't promote him anymore. Even though, halachically, you should combine the later one with the early one, but then why say it in such an interesting way? Say, according to Rav Elazar, that even if two witnesses come now and say that he's not a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, sorry, we can't promote him anymore. So if that would be the case, then why say it in a way of an eight echad of combination? So Elama Amar Rav Ashi, rather, so Rav Ashi says, a different interpretation of this machlekes. B'mitztarfen le'edus kamifuki. Rav Elazar and Shimon are arguing regarding, do we combine testimonials? U'beplukta dan the Tanoi, which is actually a different machlekes Tanoim that we find elsewhere, the Tanoi, like Lino Braisa. There's two machlekes in this Braisa, and it's the second one that's primary for what our Gemara wants. The first one is, the Tanna Kamma holds, you cannot combine two witnesses' testimony to be what you always need two witnesses as a unit, until they see what they're testifying about together. Meaning that excludes if, let's say, one person says that I saw the loan and the other one never saw the loan, but he says, I know the loan is owed because the borrower admitted in front of me that he owes the loan. Now, although essentially they're both saying the same idea, that this borrower owes the lender this amount of money, but they're not testifying about the same thing. He's testifying about he saw the actual loan. He's testifying about the admission. That does not combine. Shimon Karchaimer, he says no. He says, he says, even if it was one incident after another incident and they're testifying about different things, they could combine because essentially they're saying the same thing. They're saying that Reuven owes Shimon $100. Yes, he's saying because he saw the loan, and he's saying because he saw the admission, it doesn't make a difference. Now, but the second machlekes is what our Gemara is proposing, according to Rav Ashi, that's the machlekes Rav Elazar and Shimon, which is, Tanakama says, Ve'ene dusen miskayemes, that a testimonial cannot be accepted bebezdin, that is, even if they saw it together. Meaning, this is a different machlekes, it's not Rav Shimon Karcha saying. Rather, according to the Rabbanan, it's Achi idush neim ke'echad. They have to be saying it at the same time. Rav Nosson Naim, he says, no, Shemin Devar v'shal zehayoyim. We could hear one person's testimony today. And Ukshiyav v'chaver l'mocha Shemin Devar. And when his friend comes tomorrow, we could listen to him. And therefore, the Gemara wants to say that the Machlekes, Rav Elazar and Shimon, is the same Machlekes, Rav Nosson and the Rabbanan. And that's the understanding why we're saying that it's, when you say eid echad, yes, it's actually one eid. And the reason why we said specifically eid echad is because not true. Rav Elazar actually would hold if two witnesses would come, he maybe would agree to Shimon Gamliel, and it wouldn't be lizulus of the beis din chashinon. If two witnesses come, then we would believe. But what we're told over here is only one witness comes. So Rav Elazar, who says that we would not be malim al pi eid echad, he says like the Tanakama. Tanakama says they have to say it at the same time. So if it's just one witness now coming and saying it, and we have two witnesses saying he's a ben grisha ben chalutza, we can't be malim based on just one testimonial. But Rav Shimon holds like Rav Nosson. Just like Rav Nosson says, we could have their testimonies at different times and we'll combine them. So too he said that, although there's one witness coming now, but we had one witness a few days ago and we could combine them, and therefore that will be a trade train as we described before. The trade train will take you back to original Chazaka Kamaisa, which was established by that first witness, that he is a Kayan Kasher, and that's why Rav Shimon says that we could be Malim L'Kuhuna Al Pi Eid Echad. Again, doesn't literally mean one eid, it means together by being Mitztarif to the original first eid. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of a previous Mishnah about a woman taken into captivity. So the Mishnah says, so Isha shenechvisha bidei oivdei kechavim, a woman that was imprisoned by non-Jews. So it depends why she's in prison. If it's alidei mamon, if it's for a financial matter, then mutaris labala, then she'll be permitted to her husband. And the reason is as follows. In other words, what we're discussing here, obviously, is regarding if a woman had a bia with the non-Jew. Now, if it was done that she was violated, so if her husband's a Yisrael, so she's permitted. But if it was done beratzen, willingly, then she's forbidden to her husband. Now, the Mishnah says that if they're imprisoning her for financial matters, where they want to get money from her husband or from other people, then they'll be afraid to lose the money. They're not going to want to act with her inappropriately because of the potential loss that they might incur because of that. And therefore, they're not going to act inappropriately with her, and therefore, we don't have to be even concerned that they even had bia, let alone berotzen, and therefore, she'll be permitted to her husband. But if it's alidei nefashis, if the reason why she was imprisoned was because of capital punishment, because she's been sentenced to death, well then, even if she ends up getting out, asur labala, she'll be forbidden to her husband. The reason is because then they act with her in a hefker type of a way, and so therefore they'll go ahead and have bia with her because there's no monetary loss on their end. Now, but additionally to that is we're concerned that maybe since they're always acting with her in this inappropriate way, one time she might have done it beratzen willingly and submitted. Once she does it willingly, then she's forbidden to her husband like a regular Eishes Ish. And we're concerned for that because of all the mental and psychological pressure that goes into this in her imprisonment, and therefore she'll be forbidden to her husband. Now, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, he qualifies the halacha of the Mishnah. And he says, Lo Yishanu, we did not learn in the Mishnah that if her imprisonment was because of monetary matters, that then she'll be permitted to her husband. That's Elishayad Yisrael Takifa al Oivdei Kechav. That's only if the Jewish people have some presence at that time and the non-Jews are forbidden. Let's say it's in a democracy, the Jewish people have a say. They're afraid that they might end up losing their money because the Jewish people have some power over the non-Jews. So because of that, the potential loss, they wouldn't go ahead and jeopardize that. But Rav says, if the non-Jews are totally in control over the Jewish people, then even if it's for a monetary matter, they're totally disrespectful to the woman and they're going to do all these different things to her. And therefore, it could be that she did a beratzen, even if it is for a monetary matter, she'll be forbidden to her husband. Now on this, that the halach of Rav, the Gemara says, Masav Rava. Rava asked from a Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. The Mishnah says that Heid Reb Yisya HaKoyin, Reb Zachariah ben Akatzav, they both said testimony, Al Bas Yisrael Shahurana, that there was a Jewish woman that was taken as collateral to non-Jews because of a financial debt, which took place by Ashkelon. V'rechakuhu b'nei mishpachta. Now, after that, these women came out from being taken as collateral by these non-Jews, so her family distanced themselves from this woman, again, because of potentially what happened with her and the people that had her. Now, but Veideo, actually, the witnesses who were the ones that testified that saw her being taken as collateral by the non-Jewish creditors, Me'idamaisa, they actually testified for her, Shalei Nistar v'Shalei Nitma, that she was never even secluded with them and never was defiled by any of them. And therefore, V'amalim Chacham, so the sages said to the family, look, Im atem aminim shahurhano, if you believe the witnesses that she was taken as collateral, well then haminu shalei nistra v'shalei nitma, then you should believe them additionally that they weren't secluded and not defiled. So why are you distancing her and making her forbidden to marry, let's say, into kahuna and different things that happened for a woman that was nivola through the non-Jews, if the witnesses that said that she was say that she wasn't defiled? And if you don't believe the witnesses that she was not defiled and was not even secluded, well then you shouldn't believe them at all. As we said, that this is testimony of Yisrael Kohen ben Akatsiv said that she was even taken as collateral. So that was what the sages said, and therefore they felt that it was inappropriate that they were distancing these women, because obviously for believing the witnesses who say that they were taken, you should also believe them that they weren't defiled. Now that's what it says there in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. Now Rava concludes this question on Rav. But v'ho Ashkelon, Ashkelon is from the land of the Philistines, of Pelishtim. Moreover, the Jewish people were already in exile at the time of this story, where therefore diyad oiv dekechavim tekiv al atzman, so therefore obviously the non-Jewish people had a greater presence and might over the Jewish people than the other way around. And yet v'ktani, still we learned there in that Mishnah, v'ktani tabachub zayinim ad alav, Hurhana in, from that story that the Mishnah is bringing down over there, it sounds like only where they were collateral, where they were pledged to the non-Jewish creditors, where that means they're submitting willingly. Now, since the time came and they weren't redeemed, the pledge, so according to the non-Jewish laws, they get to take possession of these women. Now, it's such a situation where according to their law and it's Yad Tekifa, then we obviously need witnesses to testify that they weren't secluded and that they weren't defiled. But the inference is, but Nechbisha, when they were imprisoned, where they're not, according to non-Jewish law, given as property to the non-Jew, they're just imprisoned. In the meantime, till we solve this monetary law, that the inference would be loy, that we would not need witnesses. And the reason is, since it's according to for a financial matter, not for if it was capital punishment, yes, they would go ahead and defile her. But if it's for a monetary matter, it sounds like from the Mishnah, only when it's hurana, when it's a pledge, where according to their laws, the women are theirs. They could do as they please with them. So obviously that's what the Mishnah is describing, that we had to come onto those witnesses who are testifying that she was not defiled. But the understanding sounds like is that when you're imprisoned, where no one gives you the right to do whatever you want with this woman, and it's just for a monetary law, it sounds like that it would not be like Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, and that the woman would actually be permitted labala. Not like he says that when it's a time of Yad Evdekachavim Tekif Halatzman, that they have the might, they're in control, which is the case in Ashkelon, that he says that they would be forbidden. Yet here seemingly it would be clear that it's only Hurano that they would be forbidden, but not Nechvesha. The Gemara answers, no, Huadin Afal Nefesh. The truth is that you can answer Shmuel bar Yitzchak that the women would be forbidden Lamalan, not just by Hurana, not just when they would pledge where they really become the non-Jews, the creditor's property, but even the halach would be even by Nechvesh, even if they're just in prison. But that's just the incident that took place. The Mishnah Yiddish was recording a story, which the story happened with Hurana, but actually the story would be even this lower level of rights that a non-Jew has over the woman in prison, which is in the case of Nechvesha. But actually, the halacha would be, even over there, that she would be Asur Labala until you have Edim that testify otherwise to prove that she was not Nisra and not Nivala, because until then, we do assume that the non-Jewish people that are in control of these women would go ahead and have be with her, and moreover, then we have to be concerned that maybe the woman did it, Bertzaina, thus making her Asur Labala.